Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Well, hey, Mark, I got a question for you.
Okay.
When you left the Followers, you knew what would happen. And I'm wondering why you left when you knew what would happen. And I'm thinking with respect to people not having anything to do with you.
Right. Well, I mean, the broad answer, like we've talked about hopefully every week on here, is to follow Jesus, because following Jesus didn't feel optional to me at that point. Like, I was convinced that he was who he says he was and that he was worthy of being trusted and followed. But I think what you're talking about is that you knew what would be the result because of followers. And
you were able to predict it, for sure.
Yeah. Well, like I've shared before, I've done it to people who left before I did. I changed my relationship with them when mm-hmm. they left. Really good friends of mine, even. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you always hope that it won't happen to you. Like, when you're the one that leaves, we hoped that it wouldn't happen. People tried to encourage it, that you guys' family is so close, there's no way that this will happen to you guys. And then it did. And we did. We did know what could happen, at least, and then it ended up happening. So,
it ended up that because you knew and because you stepped away anyway, it was kind of on you, right?
Yeah, that's the part that I struggle with all the time. And I've tried to figure out how to put that into words here, but the blame goes to the person who leaves because they knew what would happen.
Let me just back it up to what you said earlier.
Yeah.
You did this to other people.
I did.
When you did it to other people, did you put the blame on them?
Absolutely. 100%. I put the blame on them to make myself feel better. I did.
And so in that instance, you completely thought it was their choice. But now that you made the choice, do you feel differently about it?
I do. When I blamed them, I was saying, you put me in this position to have to do this. And what I know now is that the Followers Church, this high control group, is what puts people in the position to do this, make this decision.
This is one of those things now that you see from both sides, which is very interesting, because you can see it both sides. You see it more completely than you saw it when you just saw one side.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I always kind of knew that what I was doing wasn't right. But at that point, it really is. I was weighing my options. I was counting the cost, and my identity within the church and my social standing and all those things outweighed my love for my friend who left, or my brother who left, or my father-in-law who left.
So the pressure on you as this third person, not the person who left, but the third person.
Yeah.
The pressure that was on you to not have anything to do with the person who left,
yeah,
that's kind of where you feel this resides now. Is that right?
Yeah, it's where the pressure's coming from is what I want to try and bring some clarity to. Because Cindy and I were accused, my wife Cindy and I were accused of choosing between our children. It's like Sophie's Choice.
You've
read that book?
I haven't, but I'm familiar with it, and because I'm familiar with it, I haven't wanted to read it.
Right. Let me say it exactly. That way. Exactly. It's a common thing that people use with really difficult decisions. They'll refer to it as Sophie's Choice, but mm-hmm. in this story, it's when a woman comes to Auschwitz, the concentration camp, this Nazi doctor or officer forces her to choose between her two children, which one will get to live and stay with her, which one goes off to the gas chamber. And if you don't choose one, then both go. And so I haven't read it either, and I don't want to read, but I know that that's the story. And a lot of people feel that way at Followers. They feel like they're put in a position where they have to choose between their children, the child who has left and the child who is staying. And that's really where Cindy and I were put in this position when our son left Followers. We were still there. We didn't really want to be at that point, to be honest, but our son was just quicker to make the decision. Like when we laid the facts out, I'd struggled with this decision for 3 years. He went to a different church the next Sunday after we talked to him about it. And then we just didn't, we knew what would happen. We knew what was expected of us. If you're going to stay at Followers, you have to reject your son and his family because they left.
So let me recap here and make sure that I understand.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you and Cindy were, accused of choosing between your children.
Yes.
And the reality is that and that's partly because you've left, you chose between your children, but you had the same problem if you stayed.
Yeah.
In other words, you had, so it's like both, you know, it's like the gas chamber situation where both ways are bad.
Let me complicate it even more. We hadn't even left yet. We just said, we won't make the choice. We will not reject our son who has left.
Okay.
And that was enough to get the rest of our family to say, then you can't be part of our lives anymore because you won't eliminate them from your life. So it's, and that's what I'm trying to get. It's so complex here, it feels like, but the blame goes to my son who left to a lot of people. He wasn't asking me to make a choice between him and my daughter. He never asked me to do that.
Other people ask you though. That's what you're saying.
The church expectation was that we would reject him. That's what I want to make clear is the blame for putting people in this situation does not go on the person who leaves. It is on the expectations from the church. The blame is there. They play the role of the officer saying you need to make this decision. They play that role. And it's not the person who leaves. Nobody leaves and says, you have to choose me over, you can't have a relationship with someone who stays at Followers. Nobody says that.
True.
So it's just really been, it weighs on, because it hurts as a dad to think that your daughter who is still there thinks that you chose her brother over her. And
which did not happen.
We absolutely did not do that. But it's this idea of you knew what would happen. So
because you knew, that puts the choice on you.
And now I'm to blame because I wouldn't make a choice.
That doesn't put the blame where it goes.
Right.
Because in every possible world except the one you were in, you'd have both kids.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you'd still have both kids.
I still would right now.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
For the record, both of my kids are 100% welcomed and invited, would love to have them, and our door is always open, and they know that. But the pressure's still there. The pressure from the followers is still there, because if my daughter and her family did come over for dinner, then somebody would be rejecting them. Like, it's just
initially, when you left, the pressure's on you.
Like,
you need to stay in order to make this work. Now what you're saying is the pressure is on your daughter.
Yeah.
And that's a really different thing.
And that's probably a better way to put it is maybe that's what I want the most is I want my daughter to know that that pressure's not coming from me. Mm-hmm. That pressure is coming from the church that she's going to. That the expectation from them is that she reject her parents.
Do you have any idea where that pressure originates, where it comes from?
I think it's a combination of fear and control. I think that they say things like if you have to do with people who have left, then they're going to pull you out of the church. And so it's the ultimate thing is to stay in the church. So even if you have to cut off your family, you have to do what gives you the best chance to stay in the church. And then they just want to control the information that everybody gets. They don't want people hearing from someone who has left and experienced both and can tell them, listen, what we've been taught our whole lives isn't exactly right. You know, I've seen the difference.
So do you have like a Bible verse where this comes from or anything? I mean, is this greet one with the holy kiss, where that comes from. And you have there's some behind the scenes Bible verses for some things.
Yeah, they would always, I can't remember where it is, but people would always repeat, and I probably did too, to withdraw from those who walk disorderly. That would be what they would refer to, and I can't remember exactly where that is, but I think they look at walking disorderly as someone who has left. I think, you know, that's always kind of the...
So is there any of this same kind of pressure if somebody is disorderly and stays in the church?
Some, but ultimately, the lines are blurry inside the church. And it's the way I've said it before. There are gray shades of gray, and there are different blurry lines inside the walls, but there's a hard line at the door. If you leave, they say for sure. I mean, they will use Bible verses to free themselves from a marriage if their spouse leaves the church. They will say, "Thou, they're an unbeliever, and I am free to remarry," and things like that. So that's how I know that it's...
That's where
the hard line is. Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of differences within the church of you know, doctrine or theology or whatever. They can have huge differences on those things, but they'll still socialize and still do stuff together. But the pressure that we're talking about today, the you knew what would happen thing, is when you leave.
And that's really the only place that it applies. To this degree, for sure.
To this degree, for sure. Yeah. Yep.
Oh. So Sophie's choice is not an easy one.
No. That's probably why people use that saying so often.
But it sounds like that's the kind of decision that you felt forced to make. Like, we had Sophie's choice, but it was because other people had such pressure. I mean, is that how you'd say it, or not really?
I wouldn't say it that way because we wouldn't. I would never choose between my children. I would never choose one child over the other. I was choosing to follow Jesus. There was nothing about following Jesus that tells me that I had to reject my son because he didn't go to followers anymore. So I did make a choice. I made a choice not to choose. That's what I made.
You made a choice to follow Jesus.
Of course, yeah, for sure.
That was a choice you made.
Yes.
And the result of that choice was that your friends and your family were pressured to cut things off with you.
Exactly. And the choice to follow Jesus, I'm just thinking of this now, the choice to follow Jesus erased that hard line at the wall of the church. Like, it it doesn't matter to me if my family is at Followers or not at Followers. That has nothing to do with following Jesus. I can still completely associate. I can still be family with my mom or my daughter or anybody who's still there.
Right.
But I'm following Jesus. And come and follow him with me. Mm-hmm. Follow him from there if you can. You know, do what you can. But it's just, we did not make a Sophie's choice between our children. We chose to follow Jesus, and that gave me the freedom to still have a relationship with my son who wasn't going to follow.
And somebody else mm-hmm. made choices not to have anything to do with you.
Yes.
That was the, that if we had their directional arrows pointed the right direction, that was the way that it went.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the result is still the same.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to talk about this because I hope people think about really, because we all tell ourselves stories.
Yeah.
I tell myself every time I make a decision, I tell myself a story. This is going to work out great, or I didn't have any choice, or this was terrible, or I always have some kind of narrative going on in the back of my head to justify the way that I'm making this decision. And I think when I'm aware of that narrative, then at least I can factor that into my decision making. When I'm not aware of the narrative, that's when it holds the power over me.
Yeah.
And I think what we're hoping to do with this episode is to talk about it enough to at least raise the awareness, like what is the narrative that you tell yourself? Because the narrative that your daughter should hear is not that you abandoned her or you chose her brother over her. That is not what happened.
Right.
And that's, but the narrative is that she was pressured to not have anything to do with you because you left.
Right. And it's not just her. Some of my closest friends.
And your mom.
My mom. Everybody.
Yeah. No, I know.
Everybody really that I ever knew.
Oh, dear.
And it was my business partner. Everything changed when we left there. But I think another important connection to make is when they're making the decision to not have to do with you, when I would make the decision to reject someone who left, I wasn't doing it because I thought following Jesus meant I had to have nothing to do with them. I was doing it because my standing in the church will be affected.
It goes back to believing you're in the one right church.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've said it on here many times that I think, for me at least, when I look back, everywhere where the Bible tells you to have Jesus in your life, I had my church in his place. And I was looking to my church to be my savior. I was looking at my church to provide. I was looking at everything that the Bible tells you to look to Jesus for. I was looking at my church instead.
Well, that's kind of a central issue here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things, we have talked about that before, but we probably will talk about that again, because that is the central issue when you're in the one right church.
Yeah.
Is that you place the church in God's place, really.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's really an interesting thing to kind of get your mind around. When you get your mind around it, it is it's really a powerful idea.
Yeah.
So what are what kind of summary things would you take away on this?
I think that's probably the biggest one, and probably the thing from this podcast in general, is that we're telling people not to trust in their church or their church tradition, but to trust in Jesus. And so that's the main thing, is that Jesus doesn't require this. Jesus does not require families to divide because they go to a different church. And on a personal level for me, there are people that when my mom says to me, "Mark, you knew this was how this was going to go," I just want to say to people, think about that. Like, yes, I did, but that doesn't mean it's right. Just because I knew this is how it was going to go doesn't mean it's right. That whole "it is what it is" thing, But what if it's wrong? It is what it is, but it's wrong. We don't have to do this. And so that's what I want, is for people to think about the why. Like, why is it what it is?
Right. And why would you take it to that, shall we say, extreme?
Yeah.
When the Bible doesn't require it.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're disorderly.
Yeah.
Or you're some kind of a problem or maniac or something.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I'm a danger to my kids.
I've never really given you a compliment like that before. But take it for what it's worth, I suppose. I think another thing that this is helping me do, and even the way I asked that question and you didn't agree with me earlier, which I'm glad you didn't, is that I think we have to say that people are responsible for their choices.
Yeah.
And always responsible for their choices. And so putting the responsibility where it belongs is, I think, is an important thing.
Yeah.
And everyone has agency. See, this is some of the thing, and I think that's one of the concerns about a religious group that pressures members to act a certain way, is it robs them of agency. They have the agency to make the decisions, and so that, it's your choice. Everybody makes a choice in this situation. It's not just your choice or Andrew's choice. It's not everybody's making a choice.
Yeah. And then I would just probably, the last thing, just reiterate that the Bible does not require this, that following Jesus does not require rejecting family to stay in the church that you're in. So I just want people to, look to the Bible for their answers, really.
Well, this has been a very hard topic. I mean, this is, of all of the topics that we've ever talked about, I'm guessing that this is the hardest one.
Yeah.
This is the top of the list.
Yep, for sure.
And I mean, I appreciate you talking about it, because that has, from the outside looking in, this has been the most heart-wrenching part of your story and so many others.
And I want, one thing I will say too, if there are people who have left and that are, if they are feeling guilt that they put their family in this situation, I want to take that guilt away from them if I could. It's not your fault. You're not responsible for your family's decision. They are. They made their decision. You know, it's when Pilate tried to wash his hands and crucify Jesus and says, "This is on you," that didn't work. Like, he wasn't guilt free. Like, he just,
pretty much everybody still looks to Pilate, don't they?
Yeah, and we can. I've done it so many times where I try to tell myself a story and try to figure out how I'm guilt free in this decision, and or what choice did I have? Well, you do. You have a choice.
Right.
So
surely you don't sing about this.
Well,
you have a hymn about this?
I have one that comes to mind when I think about this issue.
Okay.
It's Anywhere with Jesus, we would sing. Did you sing that?
I did not sing this
Okay. It says, "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid." And the second verse is really the one that stands out. It says, "Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hands may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise." So that's,
that
comes to mind.
Thanks for sharing that.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.